There we go. All right. So, thought we would look at Ecclesiastes 3. When I was doing my personal devotions this week, I came across that, and passage holds a lot of meaning for us in particular. I remember being invited to speak at an assembly after Kim passed, and we were there in the gym with all the students, and I was able to go through this passage with the students, and it had just a lot of meaning. But let's pray and just ask that God would open our eyes and open our hearts tonight as we go through His Word. And again, if anything prompts a discussion or you'd like to speak or address something that I cover, feel free to interject. Father, we just thank You that You are with us. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Bible that is not only our instruction manual, but it's just our counselor, and Your Spirit dwells within us to interpret these words for us. And so we thank You for the presence of Your Spirit and the power of Your Word. And we just ask You to transform our hearts tonight as we go through this. So we go into Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Often quoted, you know, I mean, these words, there's been songs written with these as lyrics and stuff, so it'll be really familiar, obviously, but oftentimes there's a lot of gold in the familiar words, so let's look at it with a spiritual ear, or listen to it with a spiritual ear. For everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven. For everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven. Everything that we do passes through the hands of our Creator. The life that we're living is a power of our own choice, a product of our own choice. However, everything in creation moves in synchronization with God. God's Spirit is in us. He's with us. His Spirit is everywhere. And as such, everything in His creation is following His season, His timeline, His intentions. Now, we do have sin in this world, which has obstructed the perfect will of God, which is one track. The other track, though, that I'm talking about is the track that God will use everything that happens in your life for your good. We know that. God will also order your steps in such a way that if you're walking in agreement with Him, you're going to have an amazing life both here and forever. But the point is that within that context, within the frame of this world, we need to be reminded. We need to understand that when things seem to be all out of order, things seem to be not going the way we wanted them to, when things aren't following our plan, within the context of God's plan, we have to understand that His ways don't always follow the way we think they should, and the pattern doesn't always go in the sequence. We want God's blessings now. According to this, there's a time for everything. There's a purpose, but there's a time for every activity. Maybe activities that we want to do aren't exactly what God had in mind for the moment. The point also to remember here is that sometimes when we get in a rush and things don't happen in the time sequence we want to see them happen, we have to remember that we don't live within the context of time. We are not bound by clocks. We are not bound by the boundaries of mortal life. We have eternity. We are already living in God's perfect eternity. We get to have this forever. And so if today isn't going the way I wanted it to, and it doesn't look like tomorrow might either, I have to remember that I don't have to get exasperated over the passage of time. I don't have to go, oh my goodness, I am 30 years old and I haven't done this, or I'm 35 and I haven't done that, or, you know, all these things that we construct are based on our perception of time, our constrictions on time. Point is, we have all eternity. We do not have a limit. But everything that God ordains for us does have its time. So the main thing that we need to do is press into Him and let Him be the director. Let, you know, we're on the bus. He's the one that's driving. He's the one that's making everything go according to his plan. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest. Life and death are all accounted in for by God's perfect timing. Now, God will use everything that happens. It doesn't mean God wanted everything to go the way that we have seen happen. God didn't want necessarily our loved one to pass in a car accident or die of a terrible disease. But again, sin subjected the world to corruption. Corruption is what happens when things go outside of God's perfect plan. But God does have a plan of redemption that follows a thread through all of these things and connects them. Just nothing escapes his notice. I guess I wanted to emphasize that. It says that, you know, there is a time to be born and a time to die. And guess what? It isn't your time. We didn't get to pick when we were going to be born, right? And neither do we get to pick, well, unless you live in one of these wonderful progressive states that's passing new laws. But we don't get to pick the time that we die either. You know, God chooses those things for us, and we have to accept that he's got purpose and reason behind his choice for those times. Planting and harvesting, interesting, are also done when it's time. It says there's a time to plant, a time to harvest. It says there's a time to kill, a time to heal. I thought some of those things were so interesting. It's like, a time to kill? There's actually a time that's appropriate to kill? Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I can't construct the perfect time for me to imagine killing somebody. But, you know, if it comes to defending my family, I can imagine a scenario happening where I would have to take a life. There is a time appropriate to kill. Wars, though we hate them, are sometimes for a very just purpose. And death sometimes is necessary to bring peace. It's a weird and strange fact of the life that we have on this earth. A time to tear down and a time to build up. Sometimes it's time to build stuff, right? You know, sometimes it's time to set the foundation and put up the building. And other times it's time to take the building back down. It's time maybe the building wore out. Maybe the building... Have you ever seen this? We saw in Las Vegas at the hotel we were staying, right across the street from the hotel we were staying in was this huge building. Huge. I couldn't tell you how many stories tall, wide, and deep. And it was all a steel metal frame. It never got past the steel metal frame. And the reason being, I guess the people that owned it and had the project ran out of money. And so they stopped building. And it got, I would say, to look at it, maybe 3/4 done. The shell wasn't on it, but I mean, all the infrastructure looked like it was built. And we heard a story later that it, at some point in time, it was going to be torn down. Again, that particular building never got to see its purpose. It was time to tear it down and go on to something new. And God does that in our lives, right? Sometimes he's done with that particular building, that particular frame that we had put together. And he says, all right, it's time to move forward. It's time to go on to the next building, the next thing that I want you to do for me. Sometimes it's a time to cry, and sometimes it's a time to laugh, right? Time to grieve and a time to dance. How many know that if we every day was happy, every day was joyful, every day was just tiptoe through the tulips, that would get kind of boring, for one, right? But if you didn't know sorrow, how could you know joy? There's a comparison, right? How do you know light when you don't know dark? I mean, how do you know sweet if you have never tasted sour? You have to have both. And God in his perfect timing and his perfect plan for your life will give you times of really great joy. And he'll also, I'm sure it's sad for him, I'm sure it breaks his heart, he'll allow us to endure great sorrow as well. There's a time to grieve and there's a time to dance. I know, just telling a quick story, myself, when my mom passed away, I was a fairly new baby Christian. I was probably 20. Anyway, however, I think I was 20. Anyway, I've been maybe 2 years older than the Lord, a year or two older than the Lord. And I was kind of put in a position of having to be the strong one. In my family, you know, we weren't strong. They were Catholic, and they had their traditions, but, you know, I knew deep down that the thing that Jesus had done in me since I got saved was putting me in a place to be able to speak hope and to speak strength. And so I did that. I led the family in prayer on my mom's bed, did all that sort of stuff. Looked up like weeks and months later and realized, you know, I never really cried. And I don't, it's like it was, this, I was just, I had to be tough. And, or at least I thought I did. And it created like a callus. It created a thing in me where it was hard to cry. I went through a lot of times when it would have been appropriate to cry, and I didn't cry, and I couldn't cry. And I actually received a lot of ministry, a lot of prayer over that. It wasn't until some years later, I think when my dad passed away, when I discovered that there were tears in there, I could cry. And so anyway, the point, I guess, of all that is that there's a time to grieve. When it's time to grieve, grieve. Don't try to be strong. Don't gloss it over. Don't try to protect yourself from it. Just go with it. Because God's doing a work in you, allowing you to be whole and allow you to be free. Times of deep sorrow increase our capacity for deep joy, I believe. I think there's a hard foundation inside of us, an empty a space that needs to be open to receive everything that we can, to have the full range of emotion God wants us to have. And He allows sorrow into our life so that we can experience great joy, so that we can dance in truth. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them together. There's a time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. More of this, I think, is just speaking about our need to accept the season that we're in. What season might you be in? Sometimes you're in a season when it is time to build and to gather and to pull to close and to hold in. And sometimes it's a time to free yourself up, to make room, to release some extra baggage, if you will. Each one of us might be in a different season at the same time. My wife and I might be in different seasons. We have to be able to walk with each other through seasons when we're not in the same feeling or emotion as the ones next to us, the ones that are closest to us. The seasons of life change. The things that we need to do in life change. The job ahead of us changes pretty much on a daily basis. What we needed to do yesterday isn't what we need to do tomorrow. God's always in the work of preparing us for the season of what's coming up next. I see that all of this requires us, again, how do you know when it's time to search and a time to quit searching? How do you know when it's time to hold on and to keep stuff and when it's time to throw away? How do you know when it's time? Anybody want to throw one out there? How would you know when it's time to stop? Okay, I've been searching for whatever.
You ask him.
Ask him, right. Pretty much all the answer to all of life's big questions are answered in that relationship. When you maintain that everyday relationship, you might go a month of waking up every day and sitting in your favorite quiet spot with God. You could go a month and never hear from Him directly. You could. I'm not saying, because I don't know what your experience is. You could, however, also go every single day and feel like you've had that close, you know, interaction with Him. God sometimes gives you those seasons. Again, there's seasons of great impartation when God is adding to you and building you up and filling you up full of stuff. There's other times when He's just kind of winding you up and saying, all right, go. Take what I've already put in you and take off with it. Run with what I put in you. I put a lot of good stuff in you. It's time to act on it. It's time to move with it. But that all is only known as you maintain a daily, everyday relationship. My other point was that just because you may be going through that month or so or week or day when you haven't really heard a lot from Him, it's still important to press in. It's important to press in no matter what our feelings tell us, no matter what our emotions are saying. Our emotions lie to us. God can be shouting and our emotions are just going, la, 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 I can't hear you. I mean, sometimes that happens too. The sin that you might be walking in your life, intentionally or unintentionally, but that will prevent you from hearing from God. If you're walking and holding on to stuff that he's already said, Mike, I want you to turn loose of that. That was for back then. That was childish things like it talks about in Corinthians. But when you become a man, when I'm growing you up, when you become a full-grown woman in the Lord, I'm going to ask you to put some stuff away. So you might be holding on to some stuff that he's asked you to put away if you're not really, you know, hearing from him clearly.
The time to throw away is when you tell it as they move.
Yeah. And again, that ongoing daily conversation with God is where the wisdom that you need for life is revealed. When it's time to quit that job or move on from a bad relationship, or, you know, when it's time to settle in and keep pursuing your dreams, those all things are revealed in their time. Time to tear, verse 7, and a time to mend. A time to... Oops, hang on. I don't know why it sometimes does that.
That's for fun.
Come on, baby, you can do it. There we go. Technology stuff. Technology on a string. They got almost there. All right, so we're on to verse 7. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. You know, I found that sometimes inside of me, maybe you found this to be true too, that there's a little voice or a little feeling sometimes that wants everything nice and orderly and neat and in its place. And I think, myself, sometimes God allows your world to get turned upside down just to show you that it isn't your little sense of order and your little connections that need to be connected. It's God's connections. And he will allow your little conventions and your little system and your daily routine to be broken up sometimes so that that chaos that results can be made whole through him, and the threads can be reconnected in his time. So that's what, again, when it's a time to tear, sometimes he's the one that'll do the tearing, right? We want to keep everything all mended and neat and kept together. Sometimes God says, you know, I'm going to rip it, I'm going to tear it, and I'm going to let it fall where it may, because I want to show you that I'm in control. I want to show you that in spite of the things that you're seeing and experiencing, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you through it. But, you know, again, a time to love and a time to hate. Let me back up. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. I think most of us got the time to speak thing pretty regular. We like to talk. We like to be heard. Conversations are often difficult because both sides in the conversation want to be heard, and neither one wants to listen. So that could be rough. But sometimes, you know, again, probably most of the time, it's time to listen. What somebody say? Your mama might have told you, God gave you two ears so you can listen twice as long as you can speak. Anyway, but there is a time to listen and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. I think we all get the time to love. I mean, it's pretty much always time to be loving and kind, right? But there is a time to express anger and hatred. Jesus did, right? Jesus showed hatred. At least righteous indignation. We like to color it that way and call it that. You know, when he was at the money changers overturning the tables. And he certainly experienced frustration and so forth at different points in time in his ministry. Time for war and a time for peace. Again, there's a time for war. There's a time for physical war as, you know, when the enemies that come and threaten your family, threaten your homeland, and threaten your way of life come in, sometimes you have to take up arms. And again, in God's time, there's time for peace. But sometimes peace can only come through wars and difficulty. So anyway, with all that in mind, God's timing, God's perfect plan, God's will. Kelly, to... Can you get Kelly to wander in? Just want to... Hey, it'd be good to have her here. I just feel like God's been preparing us for a new season. I'll give Kelly a moment. That's okay. If she's... Better get too far away. At any rate, I feel like it's time for us to really discern the season that we're in, the time and the purpose that we're in right now. And I feel like we can do that best by really pressing in, taking a break away from this Sunday routine. And I want us to put a hold on these Sunday evening services for a season. I believe God's up to something really good and interesting and different, and he's preparing us for it. But right now, I feel like we're kind of going through the motions of doing this Sunday routine out of duty. We've done an amazing job with what we've been up to on Sunday nights. I think, I know that God's been blessed by all of us coming and contributing our gifts and making Hope Living Church Sunday evening service a really neat expression of him. And I think that season right now, I wouldn't say it's over. That particular season, I think, it's time to put it on hold and to embrace whatever God has next. And I'm really excited. I'm feeling some things. I'm hearing some things from some of the crew that we feel like God's going to be taking us into a new chapter, a new season. But for right now, I think it'd be best for us all to take this time and really press in and discern God's voice and the season that he's directing in our hearts and our lives right now, and to just take a break. I would like to very, very soon restart, probably in a different kind of format. I'm thinking more cell group. I talked with a mentor that I really admire and consider his wisdom. And I'm not saying we're doing this, but I'm really considering it. His thought was, since you had a pretty good gathering of folks coming from Los Osos, you should probably have a cell in Los Osos. And you've got some other folks that were coming from Morro Bay, Cayucas, we should have another cell. It could be a home group. It could be just a small gathering in some venue. But I do believe God's going to take us into our season of rebuilding and a season of regrowth and rebirth. But for now, I do believe that continuing to meet on Sunday night, right now, it's okay to take a break. I don't know for how long. Maybe we'll resume in the spring with some kind of a gathering on a Sunday night or Sunday morning. We talked about going to Sunday morning, which I think that is really a good thing to do and a prudent thing to do. But I don't think it's the right season or time for that yet. I think I'd like to see us rebuilding some team, getting more core built. That's kind of where I'm feeling. I'd love to talk with you if you've got feelings and ideas. Ready for ideas, ready for whatever God's got next. But I think, again, there's a time to build up and a time to tear down. I don't call it tearing down exactly, but I think it's a time to put a stop sign on Sunday night for a bit while we're discerning what the next thing is. Sound good?
I'm thinking quite on my
mind. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we just want to discern everything about your will. We don't want to take one step out of step with you. We don't want to run ahead. We don't want to lag behind. We don't want to wander off your path, Father. And so we just ask that you discern, that we would discern your spirit, that each one of our hearts would be listening intently to you during this immediate season of waiting on you for what's next. We just thank you so much for each life here that has invested in Hope Living Church. We thank you for Dan and Carrie. We thank you for Steve and Kim and Rick and Kelly and the Ayers family and all the folks that have come and helped build this and helped maintain this here. I'm thinking of all the faces. I'm not going to name everybody, but there's been so many people that have been involved in helping us get this going, and we're so grateful for each one. Help us, Father, to just reconnect with you and reconnect with your spirit and to listen intently to what the spirit is saying to the church. And we want to gather again and stay gathered in various formats and different ways and just maintain maintain a spirit of unity in the bonds of peace. And we just want to, God, do what you're doing. We want to know what your mind is. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here's word of mine. Quite a focus of the evening.